What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Do you want me to introduce you as Dave Bird or Lil Dicky?
You know, probably Dave Bird.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I had in my mind Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
But I get it because your name is Dave Bird.
I'm a man right here in front of you named Dave Bird.
Right. Like you're not, your name's not Lil Dicky. That's your rap name.
Of course.
Okay.
We should save all this for the thing, right?
We're talking. I guess we're already recording. Okay.
We're in.
Okay. So Dave Bird, yeah. Welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thanks for having me.
Also known as Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
How are you feeling today?
Great. I love the colors.
It's our new studio. We're still trying to figure it out. I would say
I love it.
I'm having a panic attack because I'm like a little OCD. So like I know everything that's wrong with this studio. I was actually just having a meltdown before you came here.
What's wrong with it right now?
So I am really frustrated with the close-up shots because the
is that the close-up? Is
mm-hmm, this? You can see the close-up shot. What I'm not loving right now is the wide shot is phenomenal. You get to see the different textures and the colors.
Yeah.
But the close-up shot of you and I, we're not there yet.
I think my close-up is better than yours.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
I think it's because you've got the nice hair.
What's this? is that a pink? That pink book is great.
We're going to replace that pink book, though, with a pink Call Her Daddy book.
Okay.
But we put it in there because I wanted to find something that I want to like look basically exactly like that, but just say Call Her Daddy.
Placeholder. Yeah.
You know, we're still trying to figure out. I would say the lighting's still off. The Call Her Daddy sign isn't lit. We could go on and on.
Yeah.
The camera angle's maybe a little tilted. It's not perfectly centered.
I'm honored to be a part of like the figuring it out stage of this.
But you, from like just a complete outsider coming in, you were like, this is good.
Yes.
Does it make you want to like spill your life secrets?
Not inherently, but it's just like if I had to like repaint my kitchen, I would repaint it like this mauve that like would you say this is mauve?
Yeah, it's like it's a very, very neutrally pinkish beigeous.
It's one of my favorite colors. So,
really?
Yeah, like I love this. I you know, like I said, if I was buying a new house and I had to, and this is not just me saying it to you because I'm here in your mauve.
Yeah.
But I would really like, I think that is the right color.
I can give you the color from my designer.
Okay, great.
It took me a long time because actually this studio is the exact color of my closet. Oh. And I wanted to feel like we were kind of in my house.
Yeah.
While not being in my house.
Yeah.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice. Anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime, but it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy Gang, you can save 20% with the promo code PODCAST at azoproducts.com. That's azoproducts.com. This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. I am a certified rom-com addict. I love watching movies and shows that are funny and cute and romantic and make me want to cuddle up to Matt, okay? And Prime Video feeds that addiction. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover, and Maya Erskine kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, and really love to rip each other's clothes off. Dare I say, better than the original. My Lady Jane, a hilarious, heartwarming, and sometimes steamy historical reimagining of the story of Lady Jane Grey. You can watch both of these and a whole lot more on Prime Video. You can also indulge in even more rom-com classics by adding channels like Max, Stars, and Paramount Plus. Prime Video, find your favorite flirty rom-coms all in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Okay, so how did you pick your outfit today?
Oh, very little thought went into it.
It's
comfortable. Mm. This is a matching top and bottom, so they're meant to be worn together. It's so comfortable, and I just like the way I look in it. Genuinely, like, I feel good. Like, I think I look good right now in the sweatsuit.
I agree.
I like your outfit a lot too.
Thank you. I can give you my merch.
Is that merch?
It's my merch, yeah. Unwell University. That's not an actual college.
Got it.
It should be, though.
Yeah, I didn't even read the words, but it's really well designed.
You just like the look. You didn't even like hone in.
I just like the green. I like that we're both independently wearing solid.
I kind of agree.
Suits.
I agree.
Comfort.
So, I kind of want you to give like a little intro bio to yourself for the listeners at home, the viewers at home that are like, Dave,
who is this guy?
Who is this guy? Like, give us a little elevator pitch.
Yeah, I was born in a town called Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. It's like a suburb outside of Philadelphia. Yeah, like a nice man, love sports, love rapping, music. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm a comedian at heart and professionally. Always kind of like love making people laugh. Probably my favorite thing to do in the world is to make people laugh. And I've really tried to take that attitude and create a lifestyle out of it, which I guess I have. And I could go on and on. Is that a reasonable intro?
That was perfect. Because we're going to get into it. But I wanted you to be able to kind of like tell me first. So I have an interest in like where you went with it.
Yeah.
You are a comedian.
Yeah.
You have a show called Dave, which is out now.
Yeah. Third season. Yeah. Yes.
You know, guys, let's give them a little behind the scenes. We're recording this a little before it comes out, but right now we're like, it is out.
It's
go
out.
Watch season 3.
Yeah, it's out. It's the best season yet.
So the show is loosely based off of your life.
That's right.
How do you describe the show to people that haven't watched it?
Like I said, I've always been like a comedian at heart. So like my whole life, I've been the guy that's like trying to make all their friends laugh. And just like, I feel like conversationally being funny is where I thrive more than like the way like Will Ferrell can do all these like really dynamic personas. Like, I'm kind of trying to be funny in the moment, and I feel as though my show like tries to capture that realism of like a coming of age guy and his group of friends as they're trying to achieve their dreams in life. Mine, which in the show and reality, is being a professional rapper. I've lived this life. Like, I am a rapper, and I for a while I was only a rapper. I didn't have this show, and as that was happening, I was like, you know, able to observe and be like, this life that I'm living is so inherently funny. Like, the setting couldn't be more fruitful for a comedy TV show.
It's kind of interesting to hear you say that, too, because I feel like a rapper, most rappers are not also comedians.
Right. Yeah, it's cool that I do both.
Right?
I think that's cool of me.
Which one do you like more?
I love them both evenly.
Okay.
Truly.
Okay.
Like, even as a rapper, I inject my comedy. And even in my comedy, I inject my rap. So it's like they kind of go hand in hand to an extent.
Yeah.
That being said, rap is certainly like a young man's game. Like, am I going to be a rapper when I'm 50? I don't know. But will I still be making really funny content? Definitely.
Oh, so you've got like longevity.
I don't want to rule out rapping when I'm 60. Like, I feel like if I can do that, that's awesome.
Yeah, you could be bringing it in your 60s.
Well, you know,
you could
be
figuring it out.
Yeah.
So your name is Dave.
That's right.
And we're talking about your show, Dave.
Yeah.
But now let's talk about you, Dave. Mm-hmm. Okay. You grew up in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about your childhood. What was it like?
Amazing. Incredible. Had the best parents. Still have the best parents. Like, felt so unconditionally loved. Had the best group of friends. The only, like, adversity, trauma was penis related.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Your rap name, Lil Dicky, stems from the fact that you had a medical issue.
Yeah, well, exactly. Lil Dicky, when I think of as a rap name, I think of like small penis, which really isn't. But it's like, I think the spirit of the rap name was based off of the bleak truth of growing up and immediately having to get like operated on my dick.
Why did you have to get operated on?
It's called hypospadias,
okay.
Which is, first off, there were several operations. And I don't even know all the facts at hand because I was so young.
Like, how young?
I just told my assistant, I said, hey, like, can we look into my medical records? from like the birth and like all that, because I just like even my parents, like they can only like, they're like, oh, yeah, I think it was that, and then I'm just trying to get like the actual true facts. Yeah, how young newborn, like newborn baby, like has to get surgery on his dick. My urethra was so tangled, it was like, my mom says it was like a corkscrew.
Oh my, that's so interesting.
So I couldn't piss right. I mean they're projecting, I wouldn't be able to come right, they're projecting that for me.
And so you'd multiple, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That is like, so you went basically, because normal, like little boys are like, it maybe, I guess in the United States, you're getting circumcised. You had to get multiple surgeries.
I was like overly circumcised. I was like, you know, I did get circumcised too. So, right. But like, yes, they had to fix the tangled urethra. On top of that, there was like this condition called hypospadias that like isn't necessarily, it's really a mislocated pee hole.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Is it actually not at the tip? Like, is your pee hole like on the side of your penis? Do you want to give a? Yeah, let's give a little example.
Yeah,
here you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, let's just keep it real.
So this is a boner.
Yep, that is a boner.
Or any dick. This looks like a boner more than a soft.
Celsius is like, thanks.
Right here in the middle is where most guys' pee holes are.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is there.
So like if a girl is giving you head or a guy is giving you head, mm-hmm. sometimes there's like a little swirly thing you can do with your tongue to kind of like go in the pee hole.
Okay.
So they would have to go down and...
Whatever swirly thing you would do to the underside of the head, mm-hmm. would be where my pee hole is.
Got it.
I do. I mean, I've never had another... yeah, here.
Rest of the interview you're just like holding the shaft.
I've never had another dick, so I don't know what like getting head's supposed to feel like. I do think that I have less sensitivity in my dick because of the surgeries that I've had.
So you don't like blowjobs?
I like blowjobs, but it's not, I'm not like, like, yeah. Honestly, I prefer a lubed hand job to a blowjob, and I couldn't tell you why. I assume it's probably because I think I just feel head less, as opposed to like the tight grip.
The tight grip gets you going more than the sloppy toppy delight situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like both?
A little
handy and a blowy?
Maybe, sure.
Okay.
All I can tell you is I have a surprising affinity for the lubed hand job. Like, I love it.
I think sometimes, at least I feel like as women, we get nervous to do the hand job.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how am I going to do that better than you can do it
yourself?
It's
a third party. It's like nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like any third party touching a human feels like, if I scratch my own head, that's not going to feel better than even my hairdresser scratching
my head. Because
you know
what's coming.
Yeah.
Like when you're doing it yourself, you're like, I know where I'm going to go next with my fingers. The third party, it's like, where are we going to go with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So your childhood, aside from the penis surgeries.
Yeah.
Was pretty great.
It was great.
Tell me about your parents.
They're great. They're Jewish mm-hmm. parents. That my mom is a therapist.
Same. I mean,
really the same.
I think we have a lot of similarities in terms of like growing up in Pennsylvania. My parents are still so in love.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you guys fucked me up because I'm never going to find someone as good as dad.
Right.
And it's just like, I had a pretty normal childhood for then, I think, relative to like where we are now.
Yeah.
But the Jewish, I'm dating a Jewish guy.
Good for you.
So How's that going? It's as if I wish my mother would have sat me down at a young age and said, listen to me, date a Jewish man and only date a Jewish man. Hmm. I don't know how I didn't have this energy in my life prior.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so much better. Huh. Everything is better.
Yeah.
Everything is bigger and better and happier and just like, he's amazing. So your parents, were they strict?
Oh yeah,
they tell us about it.
I mean, I thought of them as like kind of strict, but I never like, when I look back at the facts at hand, like, I mean, I never drank or smoked at all in high school.
Okay.
In part because of the rules and regulations that were applied to the household. First off, I had the earliest curfew of all my friends every time by default. It's just like, is what it is. But even independent of that, I had to come home, like when I was junior, senior in high school, I had to wake my parents up, blow in their nose if my mouth smelled like, obviously alcohol, done, but if it even smelled like mint or gum, done. Like if there was any like, yeah, so it's like I couldn't, isn't that crazy?
Wait, what did they think was happening with mint or gum?
They thought I was drinking and then trying to cover it up with the mint or gum.
Yep.
So I never even drank, but I also, I think deep down, was relieved by these rules because I wasn't even socially ready. Like I was like fearful of like drinking.
Wait, why do you think that was?
I don't know. I honestly think, I think truly, but the reason I bring up my dick is because it created this like layer of like insecurity that was ever present socially, especially like once people started dating and like hooking up and like now they're playing spin the bottle and it's like so stressful. And like, I just like associated like, I think drinking with like romance and, and romance with like, oh my God, but does my dick even function? And so I was just like pretty avoidant of like, you know, even though I was like popular and I was cool, like I was so cool.
Okay, there's so many things to unpack here. Hold on. Yeah. Rewind. Number one, do you have siblings?
I have one older brother.
Interesting.
But I carry myself like an only child, don't I?
You do. Yeah. It almost feels like you just like popped out of the ground and like you're here.
Yeah.
I get though the concept of like, I had that a little bit also just because I was a very competitive athlete of like, drinking when you're at that age is kind of scary because all of your inhibitions go away and you're completely out of control of yourself. And at that point you have like no fucking tolerance. So you're like one beer in and you're like, let's do some crazy shit.
Yeah.
And if you were insecure about your penis, then obviously I could see you being like, I want to be aware of how to like navigate these situations and not be inebriated and then like go do something and I'm embarrassed the next day. When do you think you realized, though, you were embarrassed about your penis? Because, like, no one knew about it.
I can't remember a time where I wasn't, like, I like it's, like, the earliest core thought. Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. Oh, but I can tell you when I felt unembarrassed for the first time, which is...
Oh, please share.
Like, I start my whole series of my show, like, at the urologist's office, like, revealing all this information. It was just, like, a true cathartic moment for me to, like, because, I don't know, I just think, I think I had this... image in my brain for better or for worse of like what I am as far as like my legacy on this earth, and I think it was really largely tied to like this show being created, and like so I feel like by becoming who I always thought I was with this show, I was able to like put behind my insecurities and just do you know what I'm saying?
I totally get what you're saying of sometimes the best way to deal with insecurity is to just go at it face first, like address it, acknowledge it, be the first one in the room to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
I had like really, really bad acne in high school and in middle school, but high school got so bad.
Accutane?
Oh, four rounds.
I was on it last year, that recently. I just got off like 3 months ago. I got off.
You look great. Was your acne on your face?
Body.
Body.
Insane body. My back looked like Vietnam.
Let's talk about that Vietnam situation because I had it on my face. You had it on your back. I'm sure people listening are like, thank God, normalize it. Because it's so fucking awful.
Yeah.
You hate it. You're embarrassed. I remember that obviously affected me like with my sexuality a little bit because I was so nervous. I wanted to sleep at a guy's place.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to go and like be there, but I was too afraid to wake up with no makeup in the morning. Sure. So I would literally like, if I did sleep over, I'd be like,
yeah, I relate to that.
Fucking move an inch because I didn't bring makeup and I can't like fuck it up because I had such bad acne.
Yeah.
How do you remember trying to compensate for an insecurity and like going out of your way so people wouldn't know about something you were insecure about?
Well, with the body acne, like literally like first off, when I'm alone, I sleep shirtless. Like I must, but like anytime I was with a girl, I would wear a t-shirt and I'd be like, oh yeah, I always sleep with a t-shirt. And then like, if it was after we had sex, I don't have sex in a t-shirt.
Okay.
But like, I remember like walking to the, because it was really my back, not my front. And I would be like, I would like walk out of the room backwards and be like, I'll see you like in a minute. And then we'd like back out of the room. But like, even in high school when I had more facial acne, this is one thing that I don't even think I told anybody. You get the exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to go into my mom's makeup area, take little cotton swabs and scrape out her Laura Mercier or whatever the fuck. Yeah. And I would scrape fucking makeup and then I would, you know, have, and then so every morning I'd wake up and I'd have these Q-tips that the end of it had makeup on it. And then I would apply it like to the spots. And then I would like if like I brushed my face and like, I'd be like, holy shit. And I'd be panicked and I have to go to the bathroom and reapply it. And I never told anybody. And it was a big secret. I used to always have these little Q-tips on me all the time.
I appreciate you sharing that with me because what I don't think is fair is for the fact that I had the ability to like put makeup on and then socially it's like, you're wearing fucking makeup, Dave. But it's like, yeah, I have a breakout and it's like how red it gets and it's fucking awful. So I appreciate you sharing that because I've ever since I've just been like opened up about it. I hate using that word, like opened up about the struggles, but it's true. Cause like when you're in those dynamics, you are so self-conscious. People are staring at it.
Yeah.
You feel so embarrassed. You feel like gross. And I think when it's also on your face, you're like, oh my God, are they listening to what I'm saying? Are they staring at me? Like I used to hold drinks just like when I'd be talking, if I had like, I would just be like this.
The old drink trick.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not a great way to live. So I appreciate you sharing that. Back to you didn't drink.
Mm.
When do you remember was the first time you got drunk?
College. Like,
I where'd you go?
University of Richmond.
That's Virginia. A fun school, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So all of a sudden, thrust into the world of like full on binge drinking. You know what I mean? Like having never even gotten buzzed and really stressful, like totally in over my head. The thing that saved me was I had, you know how like some shot glasses are like taller?
Mm-hmm.
So I had this tall, thin shot glass that I was told or was under the assumption that it was a double shot. So I would go out and think I would, like all my friends, like we would take like 6 to 8 shots and go out. And like, I would only take 3 or 4 of the doubles thinking like I was taking 8. And thank God, because I...
And you're like, guys, I'm fine. I've got the double. Yeah. Like, I don't need another one. I'm over here having doubles.
But man, like, you know, at Richmond, it's so fraternity and sorority based. And I'm like not that guy. I'm like not a... Like, I felt... And so, like, I was like, you know, one of my roommates was like pledging a frat. And I'm seeing this guy get woken up at like 2 a.m. with no like planning or any idea to like get blacked out drunk. They're not like, I have no clue what this guy's schedule is the next day. Like he could have like a huge exam, doesn't matter. And I'm like, I can't play this game.
Whether
like they're waking me up and I'm getting blacked out. I can't do that. I'm trying to get like a great GPA.
So you were very socially popular, you said, in high school.
Yeah.
But you're not drinking. Yeah. Did you play sports?
Played tennis. I was a tennis team captain.
Okay.
On the most successful tennis team in the history of our high school. But like that didn't really give us any social cachet. No one cared about that.
I was going to say, I don't think I would have given a fuck.
I was just funny. I was just funny. So like I was like one class clown and like, you know, I was friends with all the popular kids or whatever, but like I was never the guy that was like the girls wanted.
Got it. Okay. So tell me.
Yeah.
When did you lose your virginity?
19. So like I was like, and so I was, it was like after freshman year of college, like in between the summer between freshman and sophomore year of college.
Okay. Bring us there. Where were you? Who was this person?
I don't like
give the names.
I'm not going to give the names. No. I'm not going to, but all I can tell you is I just remember like my main thought being like, oh my God, it functions. My dick functions. And like, it was such a relief in that sense. Like I was like so nervous that it wouldn't like be big enough or like be the right angle when like a girl comes on top or like, you know what I mean? And like,
had you never jerked off?
Oh my God. No one jerked off more. No, so I was setting like land speed records for masturbation in like the tri-state area. I jerked off so much. No one hornier, no one coming more, but like not with any woman.
So for your whole middle school, high school experience, do you remember the first time you jerked off?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Britney Spears, the music video where she's, it's like she's in the red suit, like on like Mars.
Lucky.
I don't think it's Lucky. I think it's like, Oops, I Did It Again.
Is it?
What's the, not the school, not the schoolgirl one. What was that one called? Is that Oops, I Did It Again? I don't think it is.
I know what you're talking about. She's in the red fucking latex.
There's not even a piece of skin showing. Nothing. You know, and it's like a bizarre choice. Like it's just, she's never been more covered. But yeah, it was Britney Spears. And I was jerking off, felt the feeling of about to come and was so scared by it. It was so different that I stopped and I didn't come. And then I didn't revisit it until like 6 months later at summer camp. And then I creamed. Yeah.
You like edged yourself for 6 fucking months. Yeah. You're like.
And then, man, like was deep in it.
A
like,
new man was born.
Every day, at least once. I was, yeah. I mean, the women were blossoming. And I was like, just like, you know, the music videos that were out, TRL. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? How are you going to watch TRL without jerking off at least one time? You know?
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Because I thought you were going to say you splooged to Britney Spears, but to know you started and you were just too afraid because of your dick or because of like shame or whatever.
I don't think it was dick or shame. It was just an overwhelming feeling. I was like, whoa, like new feeling in life. Like I'm kind of like risk averse, like not like, you know how people like to be out of their comfort zone? Don't like that at all. I hate the feeling of being out of my comfort zone. So when I felt that sensation of like pre-cum,
you're like, nah.
Not ready. I wasn't ready.
Not ready.
Yeah.
When was the first time like a woman touched you sexually? Was it the first time you lost your virginity?
No.
Okay. Well, tell us that.
I said I wasn't like the guy that got girls, but I was certainly best friends with all of them. And so I was like hanging out with all the hot, cool girls in my school. Mm-hmm. And then one day, like, first off, let me tell the story of my first kiss, just so you're like aware of like the climate.
Bring us through the timeline.
I'm the last guy to like everyone. Like, I don't know if they used to call it like de-pruding. Did you ever hear that? Yeah.
Yes. You're so fucking prude. Let's de-prude you.
Yeah. Like, oh, so everyone in my entire circle had kissed someone except me. I was the last one. And like, I'm sitting in like my friend's basement and like, they're like, please, someone's got to just kiss him. And I'm just sitting there. And then like one of the girls is like, just do it. And she was like, she was like, really? And then like that she went and like had like a full, she was like, hold, like, let me. And then the girls like went in the bathroom and like had like a 10-minute convo while classic. I'm like waiting to see how it netted out. And then she came out and she was like, okay. And I did it. And it was like really over. It was like the feeling of saliva, like tongue to tongue. I'm a kind of a germaphobe. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like weird. But I was thankful that I was given the opportunity.
Did you feel in that moment embarrassed so that everyone was like, just fucking do it for
him? I was
him?
So, I like, yes, but it was so like my default state of like how I was socially and how that it didn't feel new. It felt like this was just like the state of life. It felt unremarkable, but like when I think back to it, I'm like, that's interesting.
That is,
yeah,
it
is. And but I was relieved to like now like to like have like that was more of a relief, I think, than losing my virginity, although that was a big relief as well. I was in college.
We're gonna go through all the reliefs today. So
Then I had this opportunity one time where like I was hanging out with two girls and they were just like, do you want to feel our boobs at the first? But this was before I even kissed a girl. So actually this is before that.
Okay, Dave.
And so I actually felt breasts before ever kissing a girl. And I was like, my rep like around town was like, I was really good at like tickling the breast and like making the nipple hard. And I was like, I felt pride.
Did you have any technique when you actually did it?
Or were
you
really just like instinctive touch? Just like, I think I have a good touch. Like I have a good delicate touch. Like me as a lover is not like an aggressor. I'm like really gentle and sweet and delicate. And I applied that even back then. But like, for example, I felt both their breasts at the same time. And they were like, now let us feel your dick. And it, like, it was like a siren. It was like, you know, as if like a bomb got dropped and all I heard was the white noise. And I had to like make up an excuses to like, why I wasn't ready. I didn't, my dick was so small and fucking scarred and I just couldn't even deal with it. So I made up and I was like, no, and made up some excuse that I can't even recall. And then I'm telling my friend about this experience. I'm like, man, like I just felt their boobs at the same time. And like, they wanted to feel my dick. And I was, and then my mom was on the other end of it. And she was like, hang up the phone right now. And then I had to go up there and be lectured by my loving, wonderful parents about how like the crowd I was moving with was too fast. And I was literally like, what does it even matter? Because I'll never show anyone my dick anyways. Because the whole, and I started crying. Like that's kind of like what was going on. I was like crying in front of my parents about my dick sucking.
And what did your parents say?
They were so sweet. And they were like very empathetic. They didn't realize it was still bothering me. But very awkward conversations to be having. Like wanted no part of that.
Totally. I love how your mom is like, this crowd is moving too fast. You're like, I've been the last to get kissed. Don't drink. I literally give you my breath every fucking night.
Exactly.
I come home.
I couldn't be moving slower.
Literally. Yeah. Would you have conversations with girls that you started?
It's okay.
You're like a contortionist. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get better. You're gonna come back on for season 4 and we'll have it all figured
ergonomically
out.
Sound setup.
What's the youngest you got a girlfriend?
Senior year of high school.
Okay, so when you had your girlfriend senior year of high school, are you telling girls?
No. Oh my God, no.
So you're the you're really good at avoiding.
Yeah.
And coming up with like, can't right now because I gotta, my mom's over there. Like, would you avoid it?
I mean, I would control the lighting whenever, like for years, like really like up until like maybe 2018, 18, like really like can't daytime. We don't do this stuff in the daylight, you know. And just I have like a funny like that I can like disarm with comedy, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, no, I was very avoidant. And but I will say this, mm-hmm. in my experience, like once I was like, there was a point in time where I was just like, fuck it. Let the light occur. And I feel as though, for the most part, a lot of women might not exactly know exactly what a dick is supposed to look like. And so when I realized that, because it's not that crazy.
Okay. What's like, crazy about it?
I don't know when they appeared, but I had these little black dots on my dick.
Okay. Like a freckle.
Bigger. I'd say like a poppy seed.
A poppy seed.
Like three dimensional.
Cute.
And I was like, Mom, I got to have these black dots removed from my dick. So I got him removed. One of the black dots got like, I guess, I don't, my, this is, and this is all like my theory.
Right.
Like, I don't even, that's why I'm asking for the medical records.
Yep.
All I know is I had black dots, got them removed. Then after I got one of them removed, all of a sudden where one of the black dots was, pee now shoots out of that like spot. So I, when I pee, I actually have a main hole that's mislocated to begin with, this main hole.
Uh-huh.
As if I didn't have enough problems, a new hole. That's like, so it's like a pinprick. You wouldn't even be able to really see it. You would if I like stretched my dick out and said, look right in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I piss, it's two holes. And it's like if I have to, when I pee at it, like a urinal, like I take my finger, my pointer finger, and I clog it and I just piss on my finger every time I pee. Or if I'm by myself, I'll pee sitting down to avoid that. And just, it'll trickle all over my balls.
I was going to say, you could sit down. That's always,
I
better.
Sit down every time I pee, but in a public setting, I mean, right, it's got a men's room in the stall is like the most atrocious place on earth.
I get it. Okay. First of all, I just want to say I do, because I know there's a lot of joking that goes around this. I actually really do appreciate you being so open about it. Cause one, I know we said like deal with your insecurities head on. However, yeah. I think that something that is like your dick, or like for women, it's like your tits, or like, what does your labia look like? It is a huge thing that can affect your self-worth and like how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you being honest, because I can imagine there's so many fucking people that are so insecure about a body part. And I think especially for men, it's like that is like what gives you your manhood.
Yeah.
And so I can imagine, like, as much as you've now turned it into like, you've joked about it and you've made it your own, and it's like that shit is like kind of fucking scarring.
Yeah,
no pun intended. It but is. Like,
it really, it's... I don't think anything has informed like the DNA of my personality more than like, I'm not like bringing it up because I think it's like, this is so funny. It's like, it's not like a lowbrow thing. I actually think it's like interesting that how this is totally like shaped like my personality.
I think anytime you have an insecurity, and like we talked about, like you avoid, you like deflect, like you become so good at avoiding just like accepting yourself, which is really what it is.
Yeah.
Now that you've been so open about it in your career, mm-hmm. has it alleviated in terms of when you meet, like, do you have a girlfriend right now?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll get there. But like before even meeting your girlfriend or your girlfriend, now because you're so public, like, my name's Lil Dicky, I'm owning all this. Does it alleviate the pressure now of when you meet a potential romantic partner that you kind of are like, yeah, it's my bit. Like, my dick has got this shit. Like, what's up?
Yeah, pretty much. I would say I also was like, man, am I just like putting such a bullseye on like, pay attention to this. Like, you know, if you weren't paying attention before, now, like, maybe I'll really. Luckily, I met my girlfriend like right when the show came out. So I was there's one episode of season one of my show that's like deeply about this exact topic. And I remember like the second date I had with her, she was at my house and I showed her the episode that wasn't even out yet, because I just wanted her to like know all the facts at hand and feel that relief.
What was her reaction?
Cool. Great. Like, she's right. It's like, this woman's my soulmate. So I think I got a lot more confident when I became a successful rapper, and like, still like, Lil Dicky was like my shtick, but like, it wasn't like, I wasn't announcing like the true details. I was like, I have a small dick. Like, it was, but it wasn't like, I have a small, several times operated on dick with mislocated holes and extra hole. Like, it wasn't all the details.
Right.
And I just think I had enough sexual encounters pre those details, but post Lil Dicky that like went favorably, like, were like, I was creating an orgasm from the woman, you know, and mm-hmm. like I just felt like a competent lover. And so I think I was able to, I think it's more about like how you work it and just being like sweet and I don't know.
A gentle lover.
Gentle, genuine, yeah.
To the tits.
Yeah.
You're like, I had a gentle touch. I guess another last question to wrap that up is like, how did you, take me to the moment when you decided you were going to have your rap name be Lil Dicky?
Like, I don't know how I came up with the idea, but like I had the idea and then I was like, well, I wanted to do, like, I felt like, especially initially, I was like, my whole thing's going to be that is that I'm the opposite of what you expect a rapper to be like. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is a name that like totally encapsulates that vibe? So like, to me, like rap is very hyper masculine, very like I'm the man. So I thought I'm very self-deprecating in all ways. So I thought I wanted my rap name to be like totally self-deprecating, thought of Lil Dicky. And then made a whole list of names for like months trying to beat Lil Dicky. And I never beat it. And I was just like, okay, I think this will, like the second best one to me was, and it is a good one. Yeah. And I sometimes ask myself, would I have been as successful with this rap name? Young Man.
Hearing that.
Young Man's dope.
Young Man's great.
Yeah. Someone should be Young Man.
Someone out there should be Young Man. However,
yeah,
there's no personal,
yeah, it doesn't have that zing.
Right. It's like, who the fuck is Lil Dicky? Yeah, what?
I know. See, so I view my rap name, like, honestly, truthfully, I hate my rap name, but I also love it. Because okay. It's like, I think,
why do you hate it?
Because it's just like when I see people on the street, they're like, yo, Dicky. I just like don't see myself as like Dicky. You know, like I go like a little bit cringy when people are like, yo, Dicky. Like I never grew up people calling me Dicky.
It had it been Lil Dick, would you like that? Like, hey, Dick.
I think I might, but Lil Dick is too like, I don't know, like too overt. Like with Lil Dicky, I think it was perfect because you're thinking like, is it? Is that what it
right.
is? Like,
but now that you've been so open, you could get rid of the Y. Like you could leave this room today and say, it's Lil Dick.
I love Lil Dicky. It's like, okay. It's my curse and my blessing and I bear it and I bear it proudly.
Yeah. It's interesting to meet you in person.
Am I not what you thought I would be?
No. I think you're like way more like sensitive and normal and grounded and like you're really funny, but I can tell that like now knowing more about you and where you came from, like you're, of course you're funny, but like you're a really, how do I say this? You're like a really sweet guy that is like in a very flashy world that can get a little bit misinterpreted,
sure,
especially because you're playing a version of yourself on a show. But naturally, I mean, I felt it sometimes with my show where I'm like, I don't talk every minute of the day. So like in the past shows, I like never shut the fuck up and I was talking about sex and dating and relationships, but it's like, I'm not doing that all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm relating to you a little bit in the sense of like who you're portraying online and a character, even you just being like a rapper, let's just start there. Like,
yeah. Rappers
have a certain persona, you know what I mean?
And especially you're not... me, you know, it's like the show really, I think, helped for anyone who was like, I don't know about that Lil Dicky guy. Seeing the show is like, even if I'm not the same exact, it's way more than just like seeing a music video of a guy like rhyming.
Yes.
And everything's rhyming.
Good point. Good like, point.
Talking in a rap voice. Mm-hmm. And I think with the show, I want to come, I don't want to be an unlikable character. And I think I'm not.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Dottie Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/un. Unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Ray-Ban, and Canon. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals during Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th. The cash back rates are even bigger. I'll be shopping for Adidas and Fenty. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of Big Give Week's 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
You said that the writer's room for your show, Dave, is like a group therapy session, except it's one where the sole focus is on you.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fucking interesting. What is a hard truth that you've been hit with in the writer's room? If ever, because everyone's focusing on you. Like, yeah. Dave, what are we like?
Yeah, like, what are your flaws, man?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
How do they manifest themselves?
Is there anything that you've in a writer's room been like, fuck, I need to like think about that more?
I'm pretty self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt like, and I guess the writers do a good job. I can tell that they all genuinely like me, and like I'm friends with a lot of them. And I think, you know, I'll tell them stories of like my selfishness, like, but it's like I've always known I was selfish. So it's like, I just by default have like kind of always lived life, and it's a privileged perspective to have, but like trying to maximize my self-interest. And like, you know, for example, just like dating. I never got girls growing up like, oh, now I'm a famous rapper and I have social leverage. Like I have my pick of the litter. I think it's kind of an abuse of power. And like, especially the way gender dynamics are by default in current society, it's like not an even playing field to begin with. So then for me to be like, this is my competitive advantage. You're not thinking about the other person as a human being. And like, it's like,
right.
You know what? You're like trying to be like, oh, I deserve the best girl. I'm waiting till I have like perfection in a woman, and no one's ever going to be perfect. And that's a flawed way to date. That's really a privileged way to think about things in general, because we're operating as men under the skewed power structure where, and like I went on so many dates, like no one has dated more than me. And I feel like the main thing I would learn as I talked to the women that I was dating was how shitty guys are.
Interesting.
And I think that it's just a current climate where, I think by default, it's like the norm is where like the man has like, you know, think about like the way even proposing works. A woman has to just wait until the man decides they're worthy enough to then, it's like all kind of so baked in.
It's so true.
Just having those with my girlfriend or having the conversations with the women in the writer's room and like not ever realizing that like I never think to myself, I'm not like a shitty guy with girls. Like I really don't feel that way. But I don't think I realized that just even by default, by just allowing the status quo to be what it is, I am being kind of shitty in a way. And I think that's something where I was like, huh, it wasn't more like, oh man, I feel so bad about myself. It's more, I'm so happy that I'm in a position where I get to have these conversations and learn and then make art that can portray that. And then so some other guy who's watching it could be like, do I behave that way? And like make them ask them those questions. Thoughts?
Dave, I'm really impressed. You said it and you didn't need to say it because as I've been sitting here with you, and I guess it's because we both have, you know, therapist mothers, but like you are very self-aware. And I think it's really refreshing to hear a white hetero man with money and yes, power just be like, oh yeah, like I think it's so obvious to me that this is the dynamic.
Yeah.
And I think on top of it, having fame, it makes it even harder, I think, for women to look objectively at a situation if they're on a date with you and feel like, I have an equal say in this. Like,
yeah,
they're just happy to be there sometimes because the power dynamic is so off.
Yeah.
That I think it's interesting to hear you talk about coming to the realization. And then when did you meet your girlfriend?
2020.
So you were already famous.
Yeah.
How did that go? How did you meet?
One of the writers on my show, Vanessa, mm-hmm. woman I love, I kept saying, you know, you got to set me up. Like, you know, I was like, really, I'm a hopeless romantic for sure. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't like going on all these dates to like, fuck, I was going to like meet my wife. Like, and like, I worked so hard that simply having a date set up in the week was like my like beacon of hope that like I would work toward. I was like, I can't wait till Thursday when I meet Lauren, we're just making a name up, and
right.
like maybe Lauren's my wife, and then like I'd meet Lauren and I'd be like, I don't know, and then I would be like, oh, on to the next one, which is like kind of like an unfair way to approach it. I knew that I would always have, in theory, kind of, I know that my personality, I really am nice, and for the most part I'm gonna like be able to get the second date.
Yeah.
And I think I went into every date being like, is this my wife? Am I blown away? Am I fully blown away to the point where like I can't even think about like, no, okay, then it's not right for me. And
okay, wait, before we move forward from that, that's so interesting. So you went on all these dates, and did you, how like vulnerable do you get on these dates? Because I thought it was interesting that you said all these women, the common theme was them talking about like how shitty guys are. But I feel like it's because you're such a good guy that they immediately like, why aren't guys like this treating women like this? Like, were you being overly sweet to these people?
Well, I think I'm being kind of, I think I just
you're
kind
yourself.
Of by default am sweet. I definitely like, if I'm on a date, I'm trying to be charming. Like I would be like, mm-hmm. you know, super.
Did you have any things you would do on dates that was like your go-to?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us.
First off, my go-to pickup line.
Okay.
Every time was, excuse me, what's your availability as far as being hit on right now? Like, are you open-minded to that type of thing or not even remotely?
It's good.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like, what else am I? I'm not going to be like, hey, how's your night going? I don't even know you.
Right.
Know
has mean? Anyone ever been like, fuck off?
They've been like, oh, I'm not open. I have a boyfriend. But like, that was nice. That was good. Yeah. Great feedback with that line.
That's fucking great.
Thank you. Why it's all such bullshit. Just right. be like, hey, like, are you down to get hit on by me in this moment or not? Like, you know,
yeah, let's be transparent.
Yeah. I met my girlfriend at the right time for sure. Cause it was COVID and then like it allowed me to like slow down and like give love a shot. And like my current girlfriend is my soulmate. Like I'm just obsessed with her. When she met me, she was fresh off of like a long breakup. And so she wasn't like trying to get into a relationship either. So I think for her, it was like, oh, cool. Like rapper, like, you know, funny guy. Like, this is an exciting thing for me to, I never thought this was going to be the next guy I dated. And I think she was like it was good for her to have something to like really look forward to. Like her whole life just changed due to her last breakup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think we just like fell in love with each other. And
we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
I do have one more question about your penis.
Yeah.
Two questions. Because then I want to go more into the relationship side of things and sex. What is your relationship with your penis now at this very moment?
I love it. I love it the way you love like a flawed Pixar character. It's like this charming like Pixar character that's like a little bit misshapen. I, for example, you know, talk about my dick all the time. Mm-hmm. And like the guys who made the score for the first two seasons of the show are like I love these men. Like they're like one of my best friends in LA and like I love hanging out with them, but they had never seen my dick. And like they were like, what, just show us your dick.
Yeah.
And I showed it to them and they were just like, man, you couldn't, like, I was worried that it was going to be like overhyped, but like, I've never like, thought something was like smaller and bigger at the same. It's like so small, yet it's so big. It's so like fucked up, but like so beautiful. They were like, it's this perfect, like contradicting thing that like they really were blown away. And like, you know, every now and then when we're like struggling to like come up with score, like, and I can tell they need motivation, I'll like show them my dick and they'll be like, all right, I'm ready to lock in.
Picturing you standing there in that room, just pulling your pants down and them like, okay.
There are scenes that we've like scored for the show where like literally like two men are like playing the keyboard and I'm just like butt naked sitting there.
Because it just gives them such motivation.
It's just, yeah, it's just funny. It's a funny thing. Like, right. There's certain, like, I don't know if you've seen season two, like, where, like, me and Benny, like, do that. Like, there's, have you seen that episode?
I haven't seen that episode.
Okay, yeah, good. You'd have a lot of questions, I think. But there's, like, a certain, like, Jewish, like, there are times where, like, I've jerked off and, like, other guys were in the room as a kid and, like, we're all just jerking off at the same time in the same room.
Is that a Jewish thing?
I don't know if it's a Jewish thing, but it might be, like, a suburban...
Pennsylvania fucked up kid thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask my friends if they ever jerked off in the same room in a Pennsylvania basement.
I'd love to know the stats.
So. Yeah, I'll let you know. Yeah. If you could tell your 10-year-old penis something, what would you say to him?
Girls don't know what it's supposed to look like. It's all going to be okay. It functions. It works. It's like it will develop like really like it's like a nice weight. There was one time I remember where like I expressed insecurity about like the length of my dick. And like a woman said, like, it's so, there's such girth and that there's, you can't, there's nothing better than a well-weighted dick, she said. And that stuck with me. So I would say, hey man, you got a weird dick, but it's going to work. It's going to work out well. And you're going to be able to create the female orgasm. And that's all that matters.
I will say a smaller penis is better for, yeah, I personally think a smaller penis is better for allowing a girl to have an orgasm.
Cool.
Because you can just hit a little bit more near that area where a large penis, I'm like, you're more near my belly button.
Yeah.
That's not where like the G-spot area is. Let's like back it out. So like put half of it in there.
Yeah.
But for you, you can enjoy yourself going all in.
I get all in and then I'm in and that now I'm wiggling. You know, I'm in and I'm slow grinding.
Right.
You know, it's not, I'm not doing that.
No. We're in, I'm marinating. In. Oh my God. Your girlfriend's like, why were you doing it on that show? Speaking of your girlfriend, do you guys live together?
Yeah. We just got a puppy.
What kind?
A cockapoo, Reggie.
Reggie.
Oh, he's the cutest.
You should have called him young man.
Maybe I will. There's still time.
Okay.
That could be his nickname.
What is something that you learned about the opposite sex by living with your girlfriend?
I feel like there's no friction whatsoever as far as us living together.
That's great.
We're very similar. I've actually never met anybody from a personality perspective more similar to me than my girlfriend. It's bizarre. And I didn't know who I was going to end up with, like, as far as I kind of always thought, like, whoever I'm going to end up with is going to be the opposite of me to like, but it's actually great to be like, so on the same page about everything in life.
I agree.
So it's,
do you want to get married?
Yeah.
Have you talked about it?
Yeah. I talk about it all the time.
That's great.
It's going to go down. Yeah.
Have you thought about how you're going to propose?
A little bit, but not it's, I'm so basically, it'd be like the way I am with my show right now. Like, I can't even believe I'm here. Like I can't believe how hard it is to finish this show.
Yeah.
Like the post schedule, like this show is getting worked on in real time all the way. So it's like, I'm like, if I like hit my head on the way out of here and went to the hospital for 2 weeks, I think we'd like miss air dates. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
we're,
my God.
So it's like every day is like game seven right now. So for me, I don't want to like even think about like that type of thing until like, I'm actually like, I want to be able to focus on her. It's like, it's kind of a it's hard to date me in the sense that I'm always distracted with the task at hand.
Are you neglecting your girlfriend?
I don't think so. I mean
maybe
in a sense, but not in a way that's surprising or
right.
And it's like, because I think working from home is so nice because like now that she's not going into an office, it's like we're both always right. There we're overlapping. I think what's most important is that I when I'm with her and I'm not, it's like, don't neglect there, like, you know, be present in that moment.
And I'm sure, I think to be with someone obviously like you, like, I'm sure you guys have a good balance of like, she knows what you're doing and you're grinding it out right now and you're at such a great point in your career that like there's moments in relationships where you have to be there for your partner while they're going through it. And then all of a sudden the show could be done one day. And then it's like, you got to be there for her with whatever she's going through.
She couldn't be more supportive. And like, it's so nice to have that. And
so good.
I couldn't appreciate her more or love her more.
What is your taste in porn?
Super HD. Like, you know, if there's anything non-HD, I'm not interested. I like, I can just, I mean, I don't know if like, I like things that feel like real. like, have you ever heard of like X-Art, X-Art?
No.
Go Google or Pornhub, search X-Art, and you'll see it's like very like slice of life, handheld, well-lit, well-shot. Huh. It feels so real. It's so, it's not like, it's like
on a
sweet.
Tripod.
It's, yeah, it's not a tripod. Uh-huh. I don't like when the dick is too big.
Scary.
Yeah, I like can't relate, you know? I love watching head more than actually getting head.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because maybe you like jerking yourself off more than you like getting head. You can jerk off while you're watching someone get head, but you're like, but I don't have to get head. I can just jerk myself off. What is the best skill you have to offer in the bedroom?
I'd say my touch. Like my sense of touch, like when I'm like, when the hand is like drifting up the thigh, you know, like that's my, that.
You've got the hand.
I got the hand. I got the touch, like a great tickle.
A tickle?
Yeah.
So are you good at like fingering?
Yeah.
Have you been given that note?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like better about like the way I get my hands on someone than I do like necessarily like going down on them.
Okay.
Not that I think I'm like, I just don't, I think like I look at myself as like an artist with the touch. Going down, I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's like a free for all and I'm not even sure what's going on.
I love the self-awareness because some men need to recognize that. Like if you don't know you're great at it, to every man listening, don't eat a girl out if you really don't think like you know what you're doing, because it's actually so sad for us because we're like, how do I tell him just to come up and fuck me? Like, let's just stop. Fingering is 10 times better. Because sometimes the guy doesn't know how to use the tongue. So it's like, let's just cut to the chase. You're not even rubbing my clit.
Yeah.
Like you're on like a random patch of skin that's not even my labia.
Yeah.
Like we're not in the region for you to stay down there for more than like 30 seconds. Just get up here.
Yeah.
So you're good with the touch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Touch guy.
Have you ever made a sex tape?
No.
If you ever did, what would the tone of the sex tape be and how would you produce it?
I do think that I could have been like a porn star because of that like Pixar like quality that like I think would be like heroic for like the people to like see such a flawed dick in porn. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. This is like, this is tough. Like I do, like I don't send dick pics. Like
you've never sent a dick pic in your life?
Never.
I think that's smart. Like no one needs a dick pic anyways.
No, my dick is too, no.
I don't care how good a dick is or a bad, it doesn't matter. Yeah. No one needs a dick pic, really.
Yeah, I think like Pam and Tommy style, like vintage camera, like feeling like fly on the wall. And like there's like a special moment between the two people. If I had to make one.
What is something unusual that turns you on?
One of my favorite phases of sexuality is the moment where my dick is being touched over my underwear. I'll be hooking up and I'm not speaking about my sexual relationship with my girlfriend or I'm just saying my past experiences and like a girl will be trying to take the underwear off and I'll keep it on. I'll wait because it's my favorite phase is like the over underwear touching of the boner. It's like my favorite part of the whole thing.
But do girls ever be like, oh, does he not want me to go down?
I probably just because
they're like, oh,
so
sorry.
Clearly love the hand. Yeah, they're like, right.
And they're like little dicky. Oh, like maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's almost, it's like a little lingering from your past of like, you used to actually be like, no, don't go down there. And you hiked him up.
It could be like, think about it, my underwear on, like, that's the thing,
and now it gets you off that you actually will eventually, you know, you'll let them take it off, but like, let's linger in the, don't take them off yet. In the foreplay.
Yeah, I like foreplay.
What do you want people to know about you? As we wrap up this episode, like, what is something you feel like is a little, like, misconception? Like, you wish people got more about you?
I don't know. I think I'm an open book, but I feel as though if I had to answer that question, I would say for the people out there who might see a Lil Dicky rap video and think, you know, that's, like, a satirical-based joke about, like, that requires, like, a tongue-in-cheek, asshole-y adjacent perspective. To know that there's probably thought behind it and I really value the joke. And I love making jokes and I honor the joke. And as a human being, I feel like I am a good man.
A young man.
Yeah.
Young man. Lil Dicky. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun. I really had no idea what to expect. And I had a great time talking to you today.
Great.
Thanks. Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Nothing too offensive.
No, I thought time flew.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month. So I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.